Okay, welcome up, guys. Next panel here is the pro-gun rights, books influence the debate. We've got Dave Workman. Dave, I'm going to start off with you.
You coming up? You're on the panel? Two and three, right? Okay.
No, we'll get you next. So we'll start off with Dave Workman. Come on up, Dave. You're good to go.
Thank you. Mark always introduces me on his radio program as his mom's favorite guest. There's a reason for that. Son, as I've been sitting here covering this for the Gun Mag and Liberty Park Press and a few of the other folks that I write for, I noticed that several speakers came up and reminded us all that in San Francisco we're considered terrorists. San Francisco has changed a lot since Harry Callahan was on the beat.
Go ahead, make my day.
I hear voices and I usually go out and start reloading, but I guess I think it's important to understand something, though. You may be terrorists, but people like me are San Francisco's worst nightmare. I'm an old guy, I'm a shooter, and I have a degree in journalism. Now, I've written, I think it's 7 books now with Alan Gottlieb, the fellow in the bow tie back over here. He's my co-author. And he's got Winston with him, who is actually the boss at the Second Amendment Foundation. We have covered a lot of different subjects, but primarily it's always the same subjects, gun rights. We have a right. We need to exercise it. We need to make people understand that this is a right. It's not a regulated government privilege. That's really what our books are all about. The latest one, you have a copy of it there, is Good Guys with Guns. And I'm in a room full of good guys with guns. I'm very happy to be here. What I think is the most important thing you can do with the books that we write is to give them to somebody, let them read them. You're usually familiar with the subject matter. We go to great lengths to be accurate. I don't make up stuff. I typically refer to FBI uniform crime reports, which is a lot of fun because when I talk to other reporters, frequently they give me a call on the phone or actually come over to do some video news. I can refer to that, and the other side can't say that, Workman's making that stuff up. You know, they can call me a liar all they want to. They have, but they don't call the FBI a liar. That's where we get our data, and we do the best with it that we can. I correct people a lot, and in the books that we do, there's a lot of that information in there that sometimes people look at that and they say, oh, I didn't know that. I think it's also important that you make yourselves familiar with the facts. Pick up a book from John Lott. Pick up a book from any of the other folks in here who have written books and make sure that you understand the information that's in there so that you can repeat it off the top of your head. I think that is also very important because the only way that you can fight the lies, and I'm not afraid to call them that, is with the truth. And the truth shall always set you free. And that's what this is all about. Freedom now. I'm glad that a lot of you felt free to come here on a Sunday morning. Typically, I'm going hunting this time of year, but I'm delighted to join you down here. And if you want to get autographs from Alan or myself, I'm sure that we both have ink pens, or we can steal one from somebody. But we'd be happy to send you home with something that you want to keep and maybe want to share. You know, get away as a Christmas gift. I'm going to arrange to have all of our books sent to Beto O'Rourke for Christmas. And maybe Nancy Pelosi will get copies, too. She still lives in San Francisco sometimes. I'm going to send Frank Bullitt over to be her chauffeur. Give her a ride down those hills, you know, in a Mustang. But thanks again for being here. And there is one more thing. I had somebody approach me in the hall the other day. He says, "You're one of my heroes." And I thought, what are you, crazy? There is counseling for that. But I'm not. Did they let you out of that rubber room? Okay. I'm not a hero, but I'm in a room full of them. And you take that back and do what you need to do. Read the books. And before you're gone, make sure you thank Alan Gottlieb for putting this thing on, because this took a hell of a lot of work. Alan and Julianne and our staff. All I get to do is. I do the easy part. I just write about this stuff. So anyway, you have a good weekend, and drive careful wherever you go.
Trying to call my dad, and I can't find him. He's not picking up. I don't know what that means. Dan Wass, author of Good Gun, Bad Guy, and Good Gun, Bad Guy 2. Dan, welcome to the panel. Enjoy it. Have fun, brother. About 6 seconds.
Hello, folks. Thank you to Alan, Julianne, Jennifer, everybody else involved for putting this great event on. And thank you all for gathering here this weekend and making this portion of Phoenix the safest place on the planet. My name is Dan Wass. I'm the author of a book called Good Gun, Bad Guy. And I focus primarily on the strategies and the tactics of the anti-gun crowd. And I'll give you couple examples. Have you ever heard anyone say nobody needs an AR-15? How about, why do you need to carry a gun in public? I got one. You're just going to the grocery store. What do you need to have a gun for? First of all, as far as I know, it's not the Bill of Needs. But they like to use that word need. So I ask why they use the word need. See, they know gun rights are, they know the Second Amendment is our right. They just don't want it to be. They can't change the Second Amendment, but they can change public opinion. Need is a very important tool in changing public opinion. The gun grabbers want everyone to view gun ownership through a lens of need. They want gun ownership to be measured by a metric of need. Because if gun ownership was measured by need, somebody would need to manage that. Someone would need to determine whether or not you need to own a gun. And you can imagine who that would be. I focus a lot on terminology and some of the, like I said, the strategies and the tactics. We've all heard the term assault weapon, right? Assault weapon. Assault weapon is a term that wasn't really used until the 90s, until Dianne Feinstein brought it into the conversation. Now it's used all the time. And it's really just a term designed to scare people. We've heard Wild West. Now, Wild West is a term that they use so they can create a visual narrative to help people who don't know any better see that or think that we gun owners are recklessly and intentionally running around putting everyone in danger. They also use the term blood on your hands. They like to use that term because it's a way of blaming gun owners for anything that happens gun-related. But the big daddy of them all is gun violence. The term gun violence. There's no such thing as gun violence. Gun violence doesn't exist. There is, however, human violence. But if we were to force them to talk about human violence, they'd be forced to look at the policies that they support. The gun grabbers' policies are often what causes much of the violence in our country. So they don't want to talk about that. They'd much rather have you think of all the problems and have everybody see the problems as being a gun issue. So let's talk about how they use the term gun violence as a straw man argument. First of all, what's a straw man argument? Well, in this case, a straw man argument is a misrepresentation of guns. It's a misrepresentation of how we look at guns in the conversation. They'll say things like, well, we need to do something about this gun violence. And gun owners instantly start defending ourselves. It's a natural instinct, you know. When we get attacked, we want to defend ourselves. But we never once question the premise of their argument. We never ask them, for instance, you know, what have they done to reduce political intolerance, the violence that comes along with a lot of that political intolerance. We never ask them if they feel responsible for things like the Steve Scalise shooting at the ball field. We always find ourselves on the back end of the question. Here's another example of a straw man. You gun owners want every teacher armed to the teeth. I'm sorry, but making teachers carry guns against their will in the classroom is dangerous. But we never ask them if they have any responsibility for gun-free school zones and the killings that happen in gun-free school zones. See, they support gun-free zones. And it's exactly where the killers go first. Because there's no opposition. Let me ask you a question. On what planet does it make sense to bus thousands of kids into buildings all across the country, keep them there for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, remove all armed security, and then post big signs on the building that says everyone inside is unarmed and defenseless? But their straw man argument is that we want to force teachers to carry guns. They'll say things like, you gun owners want everyone running around with guns like it's a Wild West. So a straw man argument paints a dishonest picture, but the problem is we often find ourselves defending the straw man. So when someone accuses us of something, like I said, it's our natural instinct. We say things like, well, I think people should be armed because statistically where there are more armed citizens, there's less violence. And that's true, but congratulations, you just validated their straw man argument. We could say, well, that's quite a fantasy you have in your mind, this Wild West scenario. Do you create these fantastic visuals for everything or just guns? So the idea here is we want to put them on the backside of the question. We want to put them in the defensive position. So when they create a straw man argument, like, all you gun owners want to put guns in the hands of children, ask them why they're distorting your position. You know, are they having a hard time comprehending or are they just misinformed? Remember, the anti-gun crowd, they think they know what they're talking about because they read a Bloomberg-funded study in Huffington Post and it was fact-checked by Snopes. And Moms Demand Action put it on their website, so it's got to be true, right? But never defend the straw man argument because it puts you in a position that validates them. So we're here this weekend because we're gathering knowledge, spending time with friends. Most importantly, we're building an alliance so together we can preserve our freedoms. And they hate this, but we gun owners, we're millions strong. And we stand together, we support our freedoms and our rights. And I'm just proud to be here among so many responsible, respectable people this weekend. And if I could leave you with one last message, our Second Amendment is not a privilege. It's our right, but it's also our responsibility to defend it. And that's why we're here this weekend. And thank you very much.